Welcome, Michaela.
Thank you.
So tell us a little about what got you started in this work.
Well, when I was in my 20s and figuring out what I was going to be when I grow up, I found agriculture and fell in love with it. And originally, I started working on an organic farm in California for several years. It was a diversified organic farm. And it always seemed to me a little bit of incongruous that we planted conventional seed. We didn't plant organic seed because it wasn't available in the marketplace. And there were a few small packet businesses that sold a little bit of organic seed, and I remember I used to bring seed catalogs to the farm owner regularly and say, oh, look at these. Maybe we could buy some of these. But, of course, garden packets are too small for a farmer to be able to plant a crop. So I left the farm when I was in my mid-20s and went back to college and went to Oregon State University and studied in the Department of Crop and Soil Science, and then went on and got my master's in horticulture. And after all those years of studying at the university, as I left, my intent was to go back and become a full-time organic farmer. And it still occurred to me that with a master's in horticulture, I never took a class in seed. And so that was always kind of a little bit of a gap in knowledge, and in my mind, a key part of a whole farming system that wasn't being taught to the next generation of farmers. So I went back to California and worked in organic agriculture there for a while and missed the research side. I love studying plants. I love thinking about how systems work. And an opportunity came up for me to work with a company called Seeds of Change and manage their research farm. And I knew that I knew how to farm. I knew how to do research. I didn't know the seed part, but I knew that I could learn that side from the company. And at the time, most seed knowledge was held by private industry. So going into that sector of industry was an avenue to fill that gap that I had always felt in my farming experience. So I did that for a number of years and got into seed, and the more I got into it, the more seed kind of draws you in. You know, a lot of people I know in seed, once you get bitten by the seed bug, you will probably do it the rest of your life. There were also a number of regional seed companies that at that point in time, this is in the mid to late 90s, the term organic seed was not yet legislated in our organic rule of what farmers are required to plant if available. That didn't happen until 2002. So there were a number of companies, including Abundant Life Seed Foundation, that Organic Seed Alliance later grew out of, who were growing seed with small-scale farmers regionally and in an ecological manner.
Define organic seed for us.
So organic seed, just like any other organic crop, is simply seed where the seed crop was produced under certified organic practices on certified organic land. So 1 year of planting that seed in an organic system and saving the seed makes that seed certified organic.
So that brings us to the Organic Seed Alliance. Tell us a little bit about the history of its beginnings and its mission currently.
Well, Organic Seed Alliance was founded in 2003 by Matthew Dillon and John Navazio. And as an organization, let me start with our mission, just to let you know what our mission statement is. Our mission is advancing the ethical development and stewardship of agricultural seed. So by development, we mean how we develop new varieties, how we steward existing varieties for future generations. And stewardship is really how we're mindful and how we pass on our genetics for the future generations, as well as how we maintain genetics to serve organic farmers and other farmers to feed our society. We grew out of a nonprofit that was founded in the 1970s by Forrest Schomer, and that organization was called Abundant Life Seed Foundation. And as I was mentioning before, during that early era of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was an increasing consolidation in the seed industry that was resulting in a reduction of diversity of varieties available in the marketplace and a shift toward a more industrialized model of seed production that left behind kind of the on-farm seed conservation efforts of our ancestors, because it used to be that farmers grew and saved seed along with their crops. So Abundant Life was focused on a collective of farmers producing seed and collectively marketing it to other like-minded farmers that wanted to buy ecologically grown seed. So it served as this marketplace for small diversified farmers to grow and sell seed. In 2002, the National Organic Program implemented a new regulation that required organic farmers to plant certified organic seed if commercially available, and that clause was included in the rule because there was a lack of supplies, we've already discussed. But what happened at that point in time was all of a sudden those farmers that were growing for Abundant Life, they were in market demand because seed companies who were interested in moving into the organic seed market were looking for farmers who knew how to grow seed ecologically without the use of pesticide, and many of those farmers were already certified organic. At the same point in time in history, this is one of those ironies of the world, of the universe, we had a tragic fire and we lost the seed inventory of Abundant Life Seed Foundation. Mm. So that fire in some ways was a strong impetus to move the organization in a direction that was already starting to come into play. And that direction was the increased need and demand for education about how we grow seed organically and how we develop crops for organic agriculture. And so this is really the focus of the mission of Organic Seed Alliance. We grew out of Abundant Life. We let go of the seed catalog. It is still in operation. Abundant Life Seed Catalog is still in existence and still has a focus on offering unique and ecologically grown seed. And our organization now operates with research, education, and advocacy programs that foster healthy organic seed systems. So our approach to some of those big problems you were alluding to is to think about how we create a positive alternative. We also host a biennial Organic Seed Growers Conference, which is a way to convene this unique sector of agriculture all in one place every other year to exchange ideas and share their research and develop new relationships.
So just to clarify, one concern about a diminishing number of kinds of seeds available from a small group of large corporate growers is a loss of genetic information and diversity. Making one goal of the Organic Seed Alliance then to maintain a broad network of seed growers and savers, because just on principle, we don't want to lose the genetic traits of any of the seeds if we can help it.
Right. That's a very good point. That genetic diversity is not only important for the farmer that plants that seed, it's important for developing new varieties for the future, for new environmental conditions, for expanding and diversifying agriculture into new regions. Those quality traits are essentially the toolbox that a plant breeder has to breed new crops for the future. And those smaller markets were essentially a conservation effort. If you think about it, a gene bank is really taking biodiversity and saving it somewhere secure for a period of time that it can be held in storage. Farmers growing and saving seed is really a conservation effort in the field.
Thank you, Michaela.
Absolutely.
We've been speaking with Michaela Cawley, Executive Director of the Organic Seed Alliance, about the history and current state of the organic seed movement in the United States. We're now joined by Kaylin Redwood, co-owner farmer with her husband Cam of Redwood Seeds, a 40-acre organic seed farm nestled in the foothills of Tehama County in northeastern California. They cultivate more than 230 seed crops for the diversity of climates in their region. Redwood Seeds is a relatively new member of the Organic Seed Alliance in one of California's several regional networks of organic seed growers. Welcome, Kaylin.
Hi, good morning.
So in a lot of the information about you and Cam and the beginning of Redwood Seeds, you describe yourself as a self-taught gardener. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your personal journey to how you came to your love and passion for plants and growing.
Yeah, sure. I would say that it came to us in our early 20s, and I was a student at UC Santa Cruz, and I think coming to gardening was just part of my natural like awakening, you know, as many people do in their early 20s, coming out of the stupor of being a teenager, and I have my world view was expanding both politically and in a sense of like social justice and learning to care for the earth was part of that. And while I was a student, I took an organic gardening class my last year at UC Santa Cruz, and then I met Cam actually just by chance. We met when I was maybe 22. And he had to go back to New Zealand, where he's from, but he sent me these tree seeds from New Zealand, which I'll always remember. There was some native tree seeds, and these were really the first seeds I ever grew, and I grew them on my windowsill of my apartment in Santa Cruz, and I remember being so amazed the new life that they cultivated. And before that, I think I'd killed a bunch of house plants, you know, so I didn't think that I had any talent for growing things. And then from there, you know, Cam and I kind of went back and forth from continent to continent for several years, and we lived together in New Zealand for a year. And while we were there, his parents, they actually like kind of granted us like a quarter acre on their farm for us to experiment with our wild organic gardening ideals, you know. So we had John Jevons' book about how to grow more vegetables on less land than you'd ever imagined, and we double dug all of our beds and, you know, grew our first gardens there and really fell in love with it, you know. And from there, we really dreamed about having land of our own, and everywhere we landed from there, we kind of had a garden in a different space. Originally, I really thought that, originally I got interested in herbal medicine and thought that that was the path that I would follow. I still didn't have any idea that the seeds would be in our future. That was back in like 2002 and 2003.
And ultimately, you came back to Northern California, which was your childhood home.
Yes.
And you found this 40 acres, and I love this quote from you that seeds eventually really captured your imagination. And you can kind of see that seed, pardon the pun, in that first gift from Cam. So talk about the beginning of Redwood Seeds.
Yeah, well, we, like you said, we found our land in 2005, and it is up here in Northern California. It felt really good to come home. For us, I guess seed saving really was sort of a natural progression of our love of just gardening. And I remember our seed collection back in those days where, you know, we had packets of things from other seed companies, but then we also had, like, little plastic baggies of things that people had given us, or, you know, seeds wrapped in paper and taped up with dubious labels of things that we'd collected off of plants we'd seen on the roadside or in other people's gardens. And so, you know, even back then we'd started just collecting seeds and harvesting wild seeds that we'd found. And so it just seemed like the next step to include the seeds in the cycle of our garden. And in 2007, we certified organic on our farm, and we actually got a couple of contracts to grow seeds on contract for Seeds of Change, mm-hmm. and then for Fedco seeds as well. And we grew like Serrano peppers and opal purple basil for Seeds of Change that year. So it was 2009 that we actually started selling seeds in little packets. And there was all of these kind of smaller seed companies in California starting up at the same time, answering that call for organic seeds in the region.
Your work now has also really expanded even more into education and advocacy. Has becoming part of OSA been an effective collaboration for you on that front?
Yeah, I've for a long time been really interested in passing the education component of seed saving on to others. For the past 5 or 6 years, that's been more focused towards home gardeners, and I've taught a lot of seed saving classes in the region. It's always been like a seed in the back of my mind that, you know, this information needs to get out to people who are already farming as well, that might be interested in, you know, growing more seed for their own use on their own organic farms, or who might be interested in adding seed growing to their diversified farm plan. And so it has come at the right time to partner with the OSA, and there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm right now among organic seed growers to pull this off. And so we've got a group of, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 representatives from other organic seed farms and from smaller organic seed companies that gathered last year in 2015, and with the mission really of, you know, long term of increasing the supply and the quality of organic seed for farmers in California and nationwide as well.
It seems like one of the exciting aspects of the OSA and its regional and national networks lies in the ability for shared information and shared resources, which runs so counter to the privileged information stance of the multinational seed industry.
Yeah, definitely. It was so inspiring when we gathered for this California Organic Seed Summit, and to be in the same room with representatives from 5 or 6 other seed companies, as well as seed growers, as well as people who are just kind of on more of an activist level, to share information and to share techniques and to even share in some aspects like financial information, like how much do you pay for these crops, these contracts, and what kinds of equipment do you find to be the most useful for cleaning, you know, basil seed, et cetera. In general, there's a lot of excitement about that. I think that there's a sentiment among all of us who gathered that to grow the movement, we do need to be open with each other, and that we're really gathering in a spirit of cooperation rather than competition.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Kaylin. Seeds are foundational to us all. As gardeners, as eaters, as residents on this great planet Earth with our fellow planet mate species. Jerry Gettle is the heart and head behind Baker Creek Seeds. Together, he and Baker Creek Seeds are founding organizers of the upcoming International Heirloom Expo in Santa Rosa, California, September 11th through the 13th. Michaela Cawley is the past executive director of the Organic Seed Alliance based in Port Townsend, Washington. Kaylin Redwood is co-owner farmer with her husband Cam of Redwood Seeds in Northern California. Join us again next week as the conversations and Seedy September continues. Next week, when we're joined with Ira Wallace of the Southern Exposure Seed Exchange and their upcoming Heritage Harvest Festival in Charlottesville, Virginia. There are so many ways people engage in and grow from the cultivation of their places. Cultivating Place is a listener-supported co-production of North State Public Radio. Our producer is Sarah Bohannon. Original theme music is by Ma Muse, accompanied by Joe Craven and Sam Bevan. To subscribe to the Cultivating Place podcast so you never miss a conversation, as well as to read more about and see many photos from this week's episode, head over to cultivatingplace.com. Cultivating Place is distributed nationally by PRX, Public Radio Exchange. Until next week, enjoy the cultivation of your place. I'm Jennifer Jewell.